Broadcasting Network.
This is Captain Fred, Republic Broadcasting Network. Today is September the 23rd of 2017. We're running a little behind today, but it's not really of any concern because we're all behind because we have too much junk that we have to get out and clean up and wash and clean. And the reason why I say this is because just recently, a hurricane came through my storage barn and took most of what it wanted, and the stuff that it wanted me to have, it left there. But in the meantime, I've been cleaning stuff. I've been selling stuff. I've been getting rid of stuff. And this is what this show is about today, is about stuff. And I'm going to play a little George Carlin first, just to refresh what stuff is about. And I'm not sure. Do we have that good to go yet, Sam?
Actually, it's just a little place for my stuff. You gotta have that. Gotta have a little place to put your stuff during the day, during the evening, whatever it is, don't you? Sure. Everybody's gotta have a little place for their stuff. That's all life is about. That's the meaning of life. Trying to find a place to keep your stuff. That's all your house is. Think of it. That's all your house is. It's a place to keep your stuff. If you didn't have so much goddamn stuff, you wouldn't need a house. You could just walk around all the time. That's all your house is. It's a pile of stuff with a cover on it. That's all your house is. It's a place to keep your stuff while you go out and get more stuff. Sometimes you gotta move. Sometimes you gotta move. You gotta get a bigger house. Why? Too much stuff. Now, sometimes you go on vacation. You gotta bring some of your stuff with you. Can't take all your stuff. Just the stuff you really like. The stuff that fits you good that month. You gotta take a smaller version of your stuff. Say you're gonna go to Honolulu for 2 weeks. 2 weeks in Honolulu, you gotta take 2 big bags of stuff. You get to Honolulu, you fly halfway across an ocean. You get to Honolulu, get in the hotel room, and you put away your stuff. That's the first thing you do in a hotel room is put away your stuff. Hey, I'll put some stuff here. I'll put some stuff there. You put your stuff over there. I'll put my stuff over here. Here's another place. You put some stuff here. Here's another place over here. Hey, we got more places than we got stuff. We're going to have to buy more stuff. But you put your stuff away, and you know that you're a long way from home, and you don't quite feel 100% at home, but you know that you must be okay because you do have some of your stuff with you.
Well, that's one of the things. We've got plenty of stuff. I'm having a garage sale this weekend, and it's interesting what people are interested in my stuff. some of the stuff I have is interesting to people that drive nice cars. Most of the stuff I have is interesting to people that have to work for a living. I've noticed that let's just say that some of the Hispanic culture comes with no pretensions about what stuff they're interested in. They're interested in things that can help them live better. They're interested in not materialism so much as in the necessities. I've noticed that if you're selling tires, they're interested in used tires because they're affordable. People that don't have a lot of money, don't have a lot of stuff, are more, I think, pliable in deciding what it is that they can use that is used. Our garage sales today are an indication of the kind of materialism that our society, that our culture has sank into. We buy the latest iPhones, we buy the latest jeans, we buy the latest cars, yet the ones that we still have are perfectly good, still usable. Why is it that we feel like we need to upgrade, to stay up with the Joneses? Our stuff is what keeps us captive in this culture of materialism and greed. Our stuff that we buy the house to cover it up, to conceal it, to display it, to exchange it with other stuff. We've got so much stuff, we don't even know how much stuff we do have until we have to move it. We actually have automobiles. The United States buys more pickup trucks than any other country in the world. At least that's a guess. Because we need to move our stuff. What is all this accumulation of things do for us as a culture? I mean, do we continue to go to our jobs so that we can work for more stuff? I'm not saying that that's what we do, but there's a trap that we're falling into. It's called the materialism trap. And I had a couple clips ready for this today, but we're really running a little bit behind on it. But let's go ahead and play this clip here. This is a Terrence McKenna clip.
Fear has many aspects, but one aspect of it is it has a chemistry, and the chemistry of fear is fairly short term. You've probably all experienced driving on the freeway and somebody cuts right in front of you, and there is it feels like your body temperature must rise about 5 degrees in about a third of a second. It's an incredibly fast chemistry that goes on there, and then in about 5 seconds you fall back down to within normal parameters. The one way to deal with fear is sit still and wait. In other words, the psychedelic terror is usually fairly unfocused. It is simply raw terror. Well, just sit still and shut up and watch the chemicals in your mind tear those molecules apart. And rarely can the fear sustain itself more than 5 or 10 minutes, because it has the force of a blow, but then you can sustain the blow and chemical equilibrium returns.
How about it, Sam? Do you hear me now?
And this is great, very good advice. Don't forget.
Am I live on the air?
For Western people to keep it on.
All right. Well, folks, I'm sorry. We're having a few technical difficulties today. This is our garage sale Saturday. But what we need to understand is that we're sacrificing us to a trap of this materialism. The idea that we buy things to replace perfectly good things is, you know, a lot of people can rationalize that possibility, but you know, I don't think it's necessary that we upgrade our phones every few months or every few years or whatever. I think that we need to understand that we're being tooled. When we have to upgrade our different things that we don't particularly need, then what is it that we're doing? Why are we fueling the fires of consumerism and of the society and the culture that we've constructed, and there is no way that we can ever have enough. There's no way that we can consume enough to make everybody happy in this. We have a need fueled by this illusion that we will be happier if we buy the newest iPhone or if we buy the newest fashions. But it's not true. We don't have to do that. We can change that. We need to understand that this is unnatural. And Sam, do you have that next clip up for us, the Terrence McKenna clip? Oh, okay. Well, we're going to have to work on that a little bit. But what I wanted to do today, and we're kind of gathering this show here collectively a little bit slowly. I'm expecting William in Montana to call in, but it seems that we're having a tough time keeping this show together right now. And sometimes that's I think probably today's my fault more than anybody's fault, if we have to blame anybody for it. So we're going to do a little shuffling here. We're going to try to bring this together, but I think now William in Montana is with us on board. I don't know if you caught the beginning of this show or not, William. Welcome aboard.
Yes, I did, and I relate to it.
Well, you know, some things start out a little rough, but, you know, once we get off the ground, we can pull the gear up and clean up the airframe a little bit. Maybe this thing will fly. What do you think? What, you know, Terrence McKenna is one of our mutual, acquaintances. Yours more reality-based than mine, but Terrence had a lot of ideas about how to avoid the trap of consumerism and materialism, and I think that last week we talked about how we can keep or think more clearly by adjusting how our chemistry of the brain works and chemistry of the body, but we need to understand that there's a lot of pitfalls and traps that our culture have set out for us, and I think that I'm going someplace with this, and maybe you can help aim it a little bit better for me.
Well, two things. You know, Terrence, you know, we had long talks about, you know, how to be in the world, and both of us agreed that, you know, our happiest times were when we were just traveling around with what we could carry on our back in a knapsack, and both of us were in the same mind that if we could leave something on a rock up in the high country that we finally came to see that we didn't need, it was a happy day. You know, just even though it was like a few ounces, it was like, what am I carrying this around for? You know, so I mean, that's really getting it down to the bare bones. And, you know, I went to Japan and spent like a month and a half over there. And what was amazing was, you know, I went over there. You can't carry much on an international flight like that. And I knew I was going to be staying, and I didn't have the money to eat in restaurants and stuff like that. So I was going to try to put together a little kitchen. And I went and looked at the prices. They're pretty expensive, and I was making up a list. And then it was Tuesday, and that was garbage day. And I went I did a lot of walking, and I walked down the street, and in these neat piles out in front of the house were everything you could imagine. I mean, it was unbelievable. Kitchenware, stereo equipment, clothes, and they were all neatly folded, you know, to be picked up by the garbage man. And I got this stereo, and I thought, oh, my God, here's a whole stereo thing, brand new. It looks brand new. And I was carrying it home, and I walked into the sideway, And my landlady came out, and she looked at it, and she said, "Oh, very good. You got yourself a stereo." And I said, "Yeah, I found it on the street, just up the street." And the woman, like, nearly died. She grabbed me by the coat and pulled me into the yard and, like, "You got to go put it back." And I said, "What? No, I could use it." She's, no, they were throwing it away. And that was like, you know, if you think we've got it bad, I mean, that culture, they, every time something new would come out, they would have to get rid of the old stuff, even though it worked perfectly well. And this woman just turned green. Like, if any of her neighbors saw her border wandering the streets, picking up all this good stuff, she wouldn't be able to face them.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Today and yesterday, I've been involved in a garage sale, and because what little I've was salvaged out of the Hurricane Harvey, it's not very useful if you don't have the rest of everything that goes with it. So I've been culling through things, and I've been paying a lot of attention to the people that buy the things that I have, and it seems like the people that have money buy the least important things that I have. I don't understand it. And the people that have very little are the people that some of the things that I consider most useful that are interested in. Is that a cultural thing, you think? Or I don't think it is. I think that it's more of a I think that we our society has gone into a class distinction. I mean, people that are in the lower class can't afford to go buy new things.
Well, there's also a division between doers and collectors. You know, if there are a lot of people that go to garage sales and they're collecting stuff. I mean, they'll just if it's a good buy and it's collectible, they will collect it. And then there are other people that go to garage sales and they're doers. They're workers. They want to buy things like tools and things that they can use to make other things. And I always see that when I go out garage sailing. You know, I'm always looking for tools, although, you know, why do I need another tool? You know, my garage is just filled with them.
I've got some I'll give you.
Oh, yeah. All I have to do is get there. But I think you're right that, you know, that you know, when you start selling things and you're trying to decide what things you want to sell, you start seeing, like, why am I keeping all of this wire? You know, like, am I going to build another house? Probably not. But why can't I give up this wire? And it's like, well, it's useful. You know, if I ever need to replace a circuit, I have it. But, you know, I'm not planning on replacing any circuits or anything. You start seeing those things.
I guess that's what, you know, we had talked about different things to have the show on today. And this hit me pretty hard today and yesterday because I've been parting out things that I used to carry around with me for years. And I look at them now, and I wonder, what do I have this for? Why have I been so attached to these things? And I think our culture today encourages not only the collection or the collectors, but also I'm not really sure doers. I don't think that completely describes the kind of culture that we live in. I think that there's a group of people that aren't either collectors or doers, from what I can tell. A lot of people don't really are amusing themselves by looking at other people's collection of stuff. But how do we avoid the trap of consumerism? That's what I wanted to talk about today, is how can we avoid filling up our houses and our barns and our tents and our cars with this junk that we're convinced that we need but somehow never use.
Live out of your backpack. I mean, you don't have an option. You know, and that's what a lot of people have done. Not just you know, recently, but I mean down through the ages, you know, people would pick up and go travel, you know, to other lands, and you would really get to know who you are, you know, by what you could live without.
Well, let me put you on the spot. How much stuff do you have that you really don't need?
Oh, Captain Fred, that was a low blow.
Well, I'm just trying to bring this to reality for all of our listeners, because I'm confessing I had way too much junk. I had stuff that I've been saving.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a break coming up. Hey, you better save that till after the break here. We'll be back, Captain Fred.
Sure.
You to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Okay, we're back. This is Captain Fred and William in Montana. We're talking today about our stuff, and William said, you've got too much stuff. I've got too much stuff, and I'm culling down. I've decided that I don't really want too much that I can't even remember what I have. So, William, when when we're involved in a culture that spends so much time and so much effort convincing us of all the stuff that we need, all the things that we should buy, all the drugs that we should consume, all the food that we should eat, all the entertainment that we should be entertained by, is there any time for us to actually have any real time with the people that we care about?
Well, there is a big distinction between garage sales in the city and suburbia and garage sales out in the farming lands in the country. And so once you switch, when I go around to garage sales, for one thing, I have to drive distances to find them. And they're in a rural environment, and they're on farms and ranches. And so the stuff you have there is much different than the stuff you find in an urban setting. You'll find more tools, more canning supplies, more farm implements, all of this. Whereas in the city, you do see just stereos and plates and clothes, just clothes coming out of your ears. And out here, when you see clothes, I mean, they're work clothes. A good pair of boots, a good pair of jeans instead of all this designer stuff. So if you switch between that, you start, at least from my point of view, getting into a little bit better grade of stuff instead of just trinkets that we're forced to buy, if we watch TV and crap like that.
Well, I really didn't understand exactly what you were talking about until I started working on this garage sale at my friend's house, and he had a lot of things that he was pulling out of the cupboard, things that he'd been storing for 20 or 30 years. And of course I had a lot of things that I was just getting rid of because I only had one trailer load of things that I brought of stuff that I brought out, and I was looking for a new home for my stuff. And so his place is in a gated community, and they have a two-day sale. The first day is for the community only, and the second day they open up the gates and let all the, plebeians in. And it seems to me that I've done a lot better with the people that have came today than I did yesterday. It seems that everybody that came yesterday had all the stuff that I had and didn't really need, and actually their stuff was newer than my stuff. But the people that are coming today are more interested in my stuff. So I guess what I'm trying to get to is that our culture has created a stratification that really is more defined by what it is that we have than it is in who we are. And you said it too, that it's the doers and the collectors. But there seems to be a large group of people that don't do much other than collect.
Yeah, and I think that, if you ever want to, see how much you're attached to your stuff, try moving a distance, not just across town, but where you actually have to pick up and lock the door and say goodbye. When we moved here to Montana, I had a lot of friends, and we tried having garage sales, but my stuff was all good stuff. It was stuff that, really good stuff, and I didn't want to just give it away. And so, consequently, I didn't sell
them. Now, wait a second. Are you saying the stuff I had wasn't good stuff, or maybe?
Well, but you got to see my stuff.
All right. So William, let's continue this. We're going to compare our stuff so that we'll know what we're doing is good. Thank you.
Heard that you are new in town. Someone said you bought it down. Yeah.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I guess I'm really trying to lighten up the discussion a little bit, but it seems that when we discuss our stuff, we really define who we are, or we a lot of us define who we are by the stuff that we collect or the stuff that we use. So how can we start to understand who we are without relating it to what we are, what we have?
Yeah, I think one of the problems with stuff is that it stays, it remains as we change. And so a lot of times we'll have stuff from a previous period in our life when we had an entirely different emphasis. And yet, you know, because, like I say, we think of our stuff as good stuff, I mean, we don't want to just donate it or give it away. You know, because we want to get the value that we put into it, but as we change, our whole interest changes, and we should get rid of that stuff. Like I said, when we were moving, I had garage sales. I couldn't get rid of my good stuff, and I eventually called up an artist and he helped me load the moving van. And I must have given him like $1,000 worth of art supplies that I had carried with me for like 5-10 years and never even looked at. And then I had all this fine wood and plywood, and I finally called up a guy who, you know, had a shop, and I said, bring your pickup over. And he thought he was going to have to carry away a bunch of crap. And when he came over and saw this plywood and this hardwood, he couldn't believe his eyes. And he said, you're giving this away? And I said, it's got to go, because we're on to a new adventure. So, you know, as we change, we should do a revision in the stuff that we have. But, you know, it's just there. You know, sometimes I will appear in these prepper communities. You can always, people will store stuff for the eventuality that they won't be able to buy it in a store. And I have friends who store stuff for other people because they know that people are not preparing. And so they have changes of clothes. They have, you know, different types of tools, different type of kitchen utensils and stuff. And it's all there, not necessarily for their use, but they know that if, you know, things go belly up, there's going to be a lot of people that have never thought about that. And you'd say, well, why are they worried about them? Well, when you live in a community, you have to do things like that. Because if the community is unhealthy and panic, it makes it bad for you. So there's a lot of different ways that you can look at stuff.
Well, the point that I'm getting to is that we are being pigeonholed into society by this collection of stuff that we seem to relate as our lives. And like you say, our life moves from one part to the next part, and we carry these things around to, I guess, more or less to define where we've been, maybe. You know, Terrence McKenna said it's nice to have he liked the psychedelics because it helped triangulate your conscience. But doesn't this stuff help triangulate where we are in our existence? Is this why we are so attached to these analog 8-track tapes that we carry around with us for the rest of our life?
You know, one thing I noticed is that sometimes I was attached to stuff that I had for the purpose of doing something, and because of all the hecticness that came into my life, I wasn't able to do it. And so this stuff has sort of an emotional attachment to it because it represents something that I wanted to do and never did complete. And so I hang on to it in the hopes that when, you know, my life mellows out and I have all this time that I never have, I'm going to be able to utilize that stuff to do what I wanted to do. And, you know, I collected all this wood as a cabinet maker, and I said, I'm going to make some really cool Japanese furniture. But I carried that with me for like 35 years. And, it always, in my mind, it wasn't just a big chunk of wood. It was this beautiful table that I was going to make.
I experienced the same thing. Well, yeah. I had furniture parts that I had built 30 years ago that I had intentions of using or changing, but for some reason I never did finish. I never did. Never had the need for, to be honest. But that's what I think a lot of people are doing to themselves right now. They're building a fence of stuff around them so that they don't really have the opportunity to be creative. I mean, we can't be creative when we're tied to all this stuff that we accumulated in these previous lifetimes. And it's like last week we were talking about different ways to to think, or at least to think clearly, or to understand that the chemical balance in our brain was influencing how we think. Well, by the same token, these material possessions that we surround ourselves are controlling how we think also.
Yeah, there's been times when I thought that, you know, where do these wives get these ideas that the garage is to park a car in? You know, like if I didn't have to park my car in there, I would have more room for more stuff. I think every culture, every religious practice, has some tradition of, you know, basically giving up everything and just, you know, being in your monk cell or out on the road with your begging bowl. And the purpose of that is to just get rid of things that you need to define who you are so you can find out who you really are. And I think we all have to do that one way or the other to get an idea of, because a lot of times we get stuck and we think we're stuck because of somebody else or the things outside us are making us stuck. And what's really making us stuck is this background material possessions that we just can't jettison. So I think it's a religious practice. I think it's a practical practice. And I think we can all learn a lot if we can get ourselves to the point where we say, boy, I've got to get rid of some of that good stuff.
Well, in a culture of consumerism and greed and materialism, all this stuff is really important dogma. It's almost like a church, in that we surround ourselves with the sacrament of consumerism. And when we think about these things as being the ball and chain to our existence, then we start thinking, how can we get rid of this stuff? And our sentimental attachment to a lot of things really prevent us from moving further than that, too.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, everybody sees that one way or the other. I mean, some people, you know, have a whole collection of fishing rods that, you know, for every possible conceivable fish, every possible conceivable situation, and they never go fishing, you know, but they will add another rod, they'll add another reel, they'll go through and pick out a whole bunch more flies because they don't have those flies, you know, and it's like, you know, they never have time to go fishing, you know, they're too busy earning money so they can buy more fishing rods, you know.
Exactly. I think our culture is converting these real needs and these real conditions to a point where it's become silly. I mean, we can't even walk down the street without putting an electronic device on our arm to measure how far we've walked and what our heartbeat was. I mean, is this really necessary that we do these things, or is this the culture telling us that if we don't continue doing this, we're not going to be accepted, or we're not going to be part of the group that does this? I think that we need to really take a serious look at what our culture is selling to us when they're selling us a brand new widget here and a widget there. William, how about let's take in a couple calls. You feel up to it?
Excellent.
All right. We're going to take on Dan in Hawaii. Are you there, Dan?
Hi. Thank you, gentlemen. You were talking about, to digress, back a little bit in your conversation. You were talking about kind of loading up on things that other people might need. Now, I've been prepping for a long time, and I don't collect stuff just for the sake of having stuff. I'm thinking about the community. And so I think I agree with you. I think that's the top tier of prepping right there. I've got people here in the community that they might be newcomers. We've got a lot of newcomers here where I am. And they're just getting into it. But if it hits the fan, then I'll be able to provide, in a lot of ways, that minutia of things that people haven't really thought about, because I've had all these years to think about these smaller detailed things that people don't think about.
Well,
for instance, fabric, that's very important, I think, in the future. All kinds of fabric. I try and get it for free or next to nothing.
Well, I think that you're right. I think we need to understand those things, but I think we need, when we begin to save things for that particular purpose, I think we need to understand the relevance of importance along with the relevance of urgency. I mean, a lot of these things, while they may be needed urgently, they may not be, you know, that's what I'm trying to say, is that when you stockpile things, how important is your African rosewood as compared to your antibiotics?
Yeah, I agree with the caller 100%, because I know half a dozen people just off top of my head who live within 50 miles of me, and they all have the same program, because, you know, like he said, you know, if things really hit the fan, there are a lot of people who never have given any consideration to how they and their families are going to survive. And like we have friends who have literally storage units on their property of clothes, barrels and barrels of clothes and shoes and boots that aren't even their size, and they collected it specifically for such times. And I think that's very wise, and, you know, besides being compassionate.
Well, let me say one thing really quick, because I just came from a disaster area. Clothes aren't the number one thing that people need in a disaster area. I have to say, most people, if you survive the original disaster, usually have clothes that you can wear through the dig out. But what was number one, I think, was food, was water, was electricity and fuel or energy. And number two, well, I guess number one again is just hygiene. You know, when there are no porta potties, when there are no toilets, when the water is down, there is nothing functioning. Well, the sanitation becomes a serious issue. So you know, you say you save clothes, but how do you start preparing yourself for emergency sanitary conditions? I mean, those aren't things people think about a lot.
Well, my solution for that basically is colloidal silver, and having a system set up where I can produce it by the gallon quickly, having the silver already purchased and put away, the electrodes. And, you know, you can wash clothes without soap if you use colloidal silver. They may not be as clean or look as clean, but they're hygienic. So that can be done. That can be handled. I think the attention should be put to detail. People don't think about things like needles and thread and the very basic detail things that you really can't get along without. And I'm talking maybe years in the future.
Well, Dan, can I ask you a simple question? Wait, before you go on, I want to go ask you a real simple question. Have you had a garage sale recently?
No, I don't do garage sales. I go to garage sales.
What did you buy at your last garage sale you went to?
Well, the last one I went to isn't really a garage sale. It's at the dump about 7 miles from me. They have a building where people donate things. And I'll go through it, and I'll just look for items that could be useful in the future. The last thing I bought was a large bulletin board, which I'm going to paint, and then this is for my own use. And,
well, you know, I got some stuff that I threw out of my storage barn that were wonderful dump finds. that I thought I would someday use. Well, hey, yeah. Listen, I want to try to get one more caller in before we end this session today. Dan, yeah. I really do appreciate you calling.
Thanks a lot, Kathy. Dan. You're of a like mind. I really appreciate someone that has that perspective.
Well, when we get back, we're going to take Kathy from Missouri. We'll be back in a few minutes. This is Captain Fred and William in Montana.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to, so I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to Angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221. Or go to the website, Angioprim.com.
Yeah, our stuff seems to be dictating who we are and what we think most of the time. And getting rid of stuff is never very easy, and it's never really sure to know exactly what we're saving it for. So today, we're talking about our stuff. Kathy, are you still there in Missouri?
Do the best I can. Yes, I'm here. I don't have good reception here because I didn't buy an extra phone. It might work better because I don't have the money to buy more stuff. So I used to be an uppity white woman in Dallas, all righty? I was a borderline uppity white B-I-T-C-H. I was not a full B-I-T-C-H, okay? But I definitely was headed that direction. And once I lost my health care as a type 1 diabetic, that changed. But because I have a good soul, and my old church girls, you know what I mean, big old huge 5-carat flawless diamond rings, never worked a day in their life, but they weren't Melania tramp trash, do you hear me? These were upright, good women, all righty? And they did a lot of good in their life, but they basically, they're amazed that I've even survived, all righty? So I had to leave and go to Boston because I couldn't get access to health care in Dallas. Didn't matter if you're working full-time. So I had to leave behind medical things. So sure enough, I needed that thing as soon as I got there. So when you talk about stuff, if you're not a disenfranchised because you can't afford health care in America, if you're a, you know, Generation Xer, a middle, you know, I didn't do a crime, never paid a bill late a day in my life, all right?
Well, Kathy, so, you know, you're in a large group of I think that society calls it the people that were left behind, and I'd have to be one of those people too. And when I go to the doctor, he's in Mexico because I can afford the pharmaceuticals there.
I can't afford to get to Mexico though. I'm in a much worse situation because of the cost of healthcare in America. And I want you to hear this: I refuse to prostitute and go get double G fake tits and hang out at the Kit Kat Club and marry some guy for his benefit. And that's the truth. I wouldn't do that. I was advised to. I'm pretty enough I could have done it. And I said, no, it's not ethical, and I don't want to do it. So I'm trying to do this by myself. So anything I have here, I need. Trust me. And to get it maneuvered under medical crises, ethically, is an art form. And we are underrepresented everywhere. There are many people like me.
Yeah, you know, Kathy, I think that you're in a situation that a lot of people find themselves. I'm not sure that you're suffering from if you've lost some of what the pharmaceutical companies gave to you, but, you know, the medical industry is pretty questionable here now. William, do you have anything to add to this?
Wait.
I think we lost William. Are you still there, Kathy? Kathy's gone. All right. Well, William, I guess you're still there, aren't you?
Yeah. I hear both of these people, and I think both of them were trying to say that not everybody collects things, just because they're attached to material possessions. There's different things. Like way back in, the mid-70s when all of this oil thing, the long oil, lines for the gas stations were happening, there was a guy who wrote a book on how to prosper during the coming bad years. And his name was Howard Ruff. And I read that book like a Bible, and I bought many copies and gave to friends. And, he was saying that, when the hard times come...
We got 10 seconds there.
Sure. Anyway, it's very interesting what he recommends people to store. And we might get into that if you... this is the end of the show.
I think this is the end of the show. We'll be back next week. This is Captain Fred Arbery.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective, and you may be paying the wrong party and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.